Test, test.
Hello, my name is Etienne de la Huissy, squared, and I'm the founder of the Art of Liberty Foundation, and I'm the author of a book called Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. A little bit about me. I'm a technology, an ex-recovering technology executive. I'm a past board member, board advisor. I was a consultant to Fortune 500, 150 companies. Worked on Wall Street, lived outside of Washington, D.C., was part of Washington, D.C.'s largest think tank, or largest CEO network. I worked at one of the big four think tanks in my youth, and in my youth I ran a national third-party political campaign. And so I got a chance to see government up close and personal, and so that what led to the writing of my book. The book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, is a book designed not for necessarily the people in this room or that are watching, but really for your friends, your family, and your colleagues. How do you bring somebody to that moment of insight? How do you explain what's going on in our world in the shortest amount of time? How do you take somebody from 0 to 60? The book is backed up by a credit card-sized flash drive that we call the Liberator. The book's now in its fifth printing. We've sold copies to 22 different countries. It's probably about 6,500 hard copies out there, 20,000 downloads of the PDF of various editions of the book. The executive summary of the book is that government was never intended to protect life, liberty, and property. Government is best thought of as a technique for robbing and controlling populations, and you can never, ever, ever have a legitimate government. And I'm going to go into that here in a second. It is impossible to have a legitimate government because it's impossible for you to delegate rights that you do not have yourself to a representative or to a government to represent you doing something that you don't have the ability to do yourself. You can't be bound by a social contract that you didn't sign. And if my girlfriend and myself can't vote to rob you because there's two of us and one of you, well, it doesn't matter if there's three of us or four of us or 20 of us or 330 million of us, there's no magical additional person that makes something that is inherently immoral, inherently unlogical, now moral and logical just because the majority want it to be so. And so government has quite literally been the biggest scam in all of history. It's essentially a technique to rob and tax farm the population. The subtitle of the book is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government, the Media, and Academia. And that's really one of the secrets that we expose in the book, is it's the government and the media and academia working together to control the information the population receives so that they believe that it's legitimate that they get tax farmed and that they get told what to do because some people, not everybody, not the majority, even if it was the majority, it still wouldn't make it right, decide to vote in these rigged elections or any election, even if the election wasn't rigged, again, because you can't, you know, delegate rights you don't have yourself. There can never be a legitimate moral government. So, and this is, you know, this is some hard medicine for some people, but the Constitution was either a scam so that they knew that they were going to be instituting a document, a one-sided contract that gave them the ability to tax and redistribute people's money that earned it and saved it, or it was a dumb idea. So it either authorized the government that we have now, that is taking 50% of everybody's income and achieving this unbelievable level of tyranny and criminality, or it was completely ineffective in preventing it. So it was not able to protect even the basic civil rights outlined in the Bill of Rights. It wasn't able to limit government at all. It didn't work. Even if it looks good on paper, the fact of the matter is it didn't do what it set out to do. And so it was either a scam from the beginning or it wasn't a good idea at all. This is the only meme that's twice in the book, but if you can read what it says sign right there where it says we give ourselves the ability to steal the wealth of others and make up rules for everyone. And so the idea that 30, 40, lawyers, politicians, and slave owners can go into a room on a continent of 3 million people and write down on a fancy piece of paper that they alone get to make up rules for everybody and steal the wealth of us or others is not a legitimate idea. And so if you're voting for government, if you're advocating government, if you're supporting government, then you are, number one, you're voting to rob your friends and neighbors who disagree. So if you think about what the Republicans and the Democrats are kind of pitching to the country, the Republicans say, hey, elect my guy, he's gonna rob everybody and he's gonna put these policies into practice. The Democrats say, no, elect my guy and he's gonna rob everybody and he's gonna put these policies into practice. Well, there's another, probably one of the best kept secrets in politics is that there's another option, it's called voluntarism. And voluntarism is, hey, let's not rob anybody. The world is a self-organizing system. The majority of what the government does is provide services. Besides the redistribution, what government really does is it provides services, whether that service is armed protective services that they call the police, whether it's dispute resolution that they call the courts, whether it's delivering the mail, whether it's building the roads, whether it's air traffic control. All of those things could be and have been done better, faster, cheaper by the free market, by co-ops, by nonprofits, by mutual aid societies, by insurance companies. There's a variety of other ways of handling these. Some of the best known economists in the world have explained in detail how all of these things could be done. But you're never, ever allowed to hear that situation or that idea in the mandatory government school or on the monopoly media's airwaves. If you're voting and supporting government, then you're advocating violence as a solution to socioeconomic problems, and you're legitimizing the system that is enslaving and tax farming you. If you can see this, if you can see the little graphic at the right, each box represents what that political system is willing to use violence for. And each bigger box encompasses the next political system. So minarchism, which is what we'd probably call constitutional republicanism, says that that the government should use violence just for police and courts and roads and things like that. And then conservatism says, oh yeah, but we need some other things like that. And then the bigger box is socialism, and well, we need to have a little bit more things. And then communism encompasses everything and says, we got to use violence to do everything. And voluntarists are really the only ones that are saying, hey, we don't have to use violence for anything. The world is a self-organizing system. We can do it all without government. Now, one of the things that that we break down in the book is that the belief in government has been indoctrinated into the population as a religion. Now, they don't call it a religion, but government, if you think about it, is using all of the little tricks and techniques that an unethically manipulative religion or a cult would use on people to create followers and believers. And so the flag is the indoctrinated holy symbol. You're going to learn about it at the mandatory government church school, where the teacher, the priest, is going to teach you about the holy documents of the Constitution. They're going to teach you the common prayer of the Pledge of Allegiance. They're going to teach you the hymns of the Star-Spangled Banner and the National Anthem. They're going to take you to Mecca as a middle schooler, okay, Washington, D.C., where you're going to go into the cathedral of the Capitol that looks like the Vatican for a reason. You're going to be taken to the temples. You're going to be shown the deities of Lincoln and Jefferson, and it's going to be very hushed, and it's going to be very reverent. And then the television, the monopolized media system, is going to come along and run some more unethically manipulative techniques on you, and they're going to begin product placing the flag. at moments of high positive emotion. If you think about almost every movie you've ever seen, the government is the hero, whether it's the military, whether it's the CIA saving the world, Tom Cruise, Top Gun, Maverick, the President of the United States flying fighter jets to protect the planet from invading aliens. The government has been the hero, and that hasn't been a coincidence. That's been done for a reason. Almost everything the population has received has been indoctrinating this religiosity of the flag, this religiosity of the government, these ideas into the population in an unethically manipulative way. The NBA puts the flag on the backboards so that you subconsciously associate the goal, the exhilaration of the goal, with the flag. The NFL puts the flag on the players' helmets where they're forbidden to remove them. The military and the police unethically manipulate public opinion by putting the flag into burial ceremonies so that you associate the flag manipulatively with the memory of your deceased loved ones. I could go on and on about all of these techniques. They're all broken down in my book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History. The courts and the judiciary wear vestments. They enforce the commandments, the laws, the commandments of the religion. The police and the military, they have their head shaved. They're put in the uniform, the single form, the same way Hare Krishnas do. I could literally go on and on about the techniques, but I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. We break it down. We break down 20-plus techniques in the book, and we show what the technique looked like in the United States, in Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, and East Germany. And what you really, you know, when you go through all 20 and you see what that technique looked like in Nazi Germany, you see what it looked like in the Soviet Union, you really come to that moment of insight. Hey, wait a minute. That's a playbook. They're doing that on purpose. That's artificial. They're doing that on purpose. They're running game on me. And it's been a game. And some of these techniques, are thousands of years old. The original Etienne de la Boissy wrote about them in 1530. And at that time, some of them were 1,000 years old. They're still using the exact same playbook, the exact same techniques. You know, one of that is, I mentioned that, you know, they're weaving the American flag and product placing the American flag in moments of high positive emotion. It's a marketing technique called anchoring. A lot of people don't know this, but there's over 800 plus movies, 1,000 plus television shows where the Department of Defense or the intelligence agencies have provided military equipment. They always have script control. They're able to excise. They're able to kind of shape everybody's view of the military or the intelligence agencies or the government itself, or the movie doesn't get funded, doesn't get the military equipment, doesn't get the toys, and they've been rewriting history. There's now a documentary called Theaters of War, where now they claim it's thousands of movies and thousands of television shows. And so from Top Gun Maverick to, you know, the Transformers, you know, they're putting these techniques. We have a link in the book to a short video showing 469 placements of the American flag in just 12 Michael Bay movies. And so you don't really understand this is going on until they just cut out that small second of the flag and they're like going ding, 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 and they're just showing that second or two that the flag is on the screen. And then once you see it, you can't really unsee it, and you realize, hey, wait a minute, they're doing that on purpose. They're running game on me. So it's the government and the media. We do a lot with visualizations. If you've seen the posters on the back wall, these posters we call the White Rose Mucho Grande. You can download them at theartofliberty.org/white-rose, White Rose Mucho Grande posters. But what we're doing is we're using visualization to make what was invisible visible. And so it's the government, the media, and academia working together. Academia is kind of obvious. The government is running mandatory schools, and they're running, you know, universities where the curriculum is the government is legitimate. The media appears to be independent, but is working along with the government in a kind of cartel system. And so what we're showing with this visualization is six monopoly media companies on old school print media, print, radio, television, newspapers, etc., running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everyone the illusion that there's all of these different information sources in society. But at the end of the day, Fox News, which is the upper left-right News Corp, they don't just own Fox News. They own 175 newspapers. They own satellite networks. They own magazine companies. They own television production. They own television distribution. They own a variety of other news assets where they're able to set the policy across hundreds and hundreds of independent outlets. This is a different visualization. This shows three organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, have maneuvered their members into the key reporterships, publisherships, and editorships at dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media companies. They don't appear to be working together. They're not owned by the same entities necessarily. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But the key people are being coordinated in this network. That network allows them to have private meetings in secure facilities. They're swept for bugs on a regular basis. It's organized crime. They're given their marching orders. These are the organizations that do it. Now, those three organizations, it's not just the media. It's the presidency. It's the vice presidency. This is a different visualization. And we can't really see the detail of it, but each of those little boxes is a different key power position in the United States, from the presidency to the vice presidency, to the FBI director, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, to the head of the Federal Reserve System, to the cabinet-level positions. Going back in time through Democrat and Republican administrations, going back decades, showing that every single major power center in the United States has been held by one of these, somebody in one of those organizations. Frequently, they're in two or three of those organizations simultaneously. So the more important you are, the more, you know, you're doubling up and you're going to more meetings to get more stuff, you know, coordinated. But, you know, one of the things that sets us apart is we're not calling it a deep state. We're not using the term New World Order. We're not using the term globalists or elitists. It's organized crime. It's intergenerational organized crime. You can follow the money. We'll talk about how they're stealing the money in a little bit. But they're taking the profits from stolen money and they're buying up the politicians and the media, so the politicians and the media don't tell you about it, and the politicians and the media vote to hand your money to private banks, private companies, through TARP, TALF, bailouts, military equipment that you don't need, etc. The Republicans and the Democrats, they're both in on it at the top. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. If you really, really think about it, both the Republicans and the Democrats are 100% completely aligned in everything that is important to the ruling establishment of this country. They're 100% behind fractional reserve banking, even though it's inflationary and stealing the value out of your money. They're 100% in on handing trillions of dollars to private banks and private companies through the TARP, the TALF, and the bailout. They're 100% behind the wars. Trump was 100% behind Operation Warp Speed. He took the vaccine. He's 100% on it. You're not cleaning out the swamp if you're putting Goldman Sachs at Treasury and Wilbur Ross, who used to work for the Rothschilds and did Trump's workout and bailout in at Commerce. You're not cleaning out anything. Jeffrey Epstein is another member of both the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission. I think he should be the poster boy. This is the kind of people that are in the organization. People. So in addition to, you know, controlling the publishers and the editors and the reporters, we're going to blackmail prominent individuals, politicians, other people to keep them, you know, under our thumb in a kind of factory brownstone operation that is now kind of obvious. We talked about the old media sides, the print media, the radio, television, On the new media internet side, I want everybody to understand that the internet was a military network. It was built by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research, it was originally built by ARPA, the Advanced Research Project Agency. ARPA became DARPA when the internet was handed over. This is a network map from 1974 showing in 1974 dozens and dozens of organizations connected to the internet in 1974. They had the internet a long time before we had the internet, and they had already figured out what the key companies and technologies were to be able to control the information that you receive algorithmically on the DARPA-ARPA internet. And so what are those companies? That's Google, Facebook, Twitter, Wikipedia, Reddit, Disqus that does comments on thousands of websites, Snopes, Netflix, Amazon Prime. I think you're getting the idea. And I'm not speculating that these companies are censoring information. This is now all out in the public. Matt Taibbi, a former reporter from Rolling Stone, was given access to the Twitter emails showing a network of 50 different companies that were coordinating censoring truthful information that was going out over the search and social media sites, takedown orders on truthful information to be able to algorithmically control the information that you receive. He calls it the censorship industrial complex. We back it all up in our flash drive. We've got all of the evidence. We've got other visualizations showing who these networks are, who these companies are, you know, what's going on. It's not hypothetical that this is going on. This is now out in the open. It has been proven. The House had the weaponization of government hearings. Everything that I just said is now kind of out in the open. And so how are they stealing money? Well, they're stealing trillions of dollars. And, you know, it may cost them a couple hundred billion dollars a year to control the media. On Wall Street, we called that mice nuts. If you're stealing trillions of dollars and you have to spend a couple hundred billion a year to control the media, it might as well be free. It's the marketing budget to control the media. And so that control of perception is really the most powerful weapon in the U.S. arsenal is control of perception. Can we get you to believe that you're not a free human being on the planet, that you're an American, and that you owe Washington, D.C. money because you were born on this side or that side of an imaginary line? The Ruskies are going to get you. The Chinese are going to get you. The Chinese and the Ruskies are running government on their populations the same way that our government is running government on us. They're menacing their populations with the threat of war with us. We're menacing our population with the threat of war of them. They're all laughing at the top. They're all in on it at the top. Government is the enemy. It's not the Chinese. It's not the Russians. The Russian and the Chinese people are victim of the exact same game. They're having the exact same techniques run on them. It's just a little different. It's a little different constitution. It's a little different flag. It's a little different curriculum in the mandatory government school. It's a little bit different of the rule. It's a little bit different religion than our religion, but that's how they do it. And so at the top of the pyramid is the banks, and they're creating money out of thin air using a technique called fractional reserve banking. The basics of the scam is when you go to a bank to get a mortgage or a car loan, they're not loaning you deposit or money. They tickle the ivories. They credit your account with digital dollars, even though that's inflationary and even though that's stealing the value out of everybody else's money. The more dollars they create for bailouts or stimulus or quantitative easing or whatever it is, those dollars begin to compete with the existing dollars that are in circulation and bid up prices. This is the reason why prices are going up. It's not because fairies come at night and sprinkle pixie dust over gas pumps and price tags, which the media would have you believe. It's because we've got a crooked monetary system made possible by government that is doing something that is inflationary and stealing the value out of everybody else's money. We're handing trillions of dollars to private banks, private companies through the bailouts and the stimulus. This, I think, was one of the reasons that they engineered the COVID. Was COVID was the engineered reason to hand billions of dollars to private companies and bailouts and stimulus. It's military procurement. weapons deals, $2,400 toilet seats, $35 screws. The Pentagon can't account for trillions of dollars in weapons and spare parts. Homeland Security, police state spending, government monopoly privileges. These are just a few. These are kind of like the big buckets, but there's a gazillion ways that the government is ripping us off. And so it's the banks at the top. And so imagine you're playing Monopoly and the banker is cheating. And the banker is reaching under the table and grabbing $500 bills when nobody's looking. At the end of the game, who owns everything on the board? And who are renters and debtors in their own country? And so that is the kind of the basics of how the scam works. I'll give you one more analogy. If I have a dollar and you have a dollar and we have the only $2 in the world, I have 50% of the world's wealth and you have 50% of the world's wealth, and a bank or a government comes along and creates two more dollars, okay, through quantitative easing or fractional reserve banking or bailouts or stimulus, now all of a sudden I've been reduced to 25% of the world's wealth, you've been reduced to 25% of the world's wealth, and the bank or the government has just stolen 50% of the world's wealth. So they're buying up the world with the little paper tickets that they create out of thin air, and those assets are being managed by BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street and some other large private equity companies and capital managers, all right? And the executives, the C-level executives, are being organized in the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission. And those are the front organizations that allow them to get their puppets together in private secure facilities where they're given their marching orders to participate in the COVID or go along with 9/11 or whatever the scam of the day is. Now, they typically leave, if they just left one company standing, okay, so they're providing unlimited capital to a certain amount of people, of companies, those companies are buying up their competition and they're leaving two to three companies standing, because if they left just one, then it would be obvious what was going on. So they're going to leave Walmart and Target. They're going to leave Costco and Sam's Club. They're going to leave Lowe's and Home Depot. They're going to leave Staples and Office Depot. They're going to leave Democrats and Republicans. But it's the illusion of choice where BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street own the majority of both of those companies, frequently own the majority of both of those companies. So again, the good news message of the book is that we just don't need government. So everything that government does would be done better, faster, and cheaper by the free market, by mutual aid societies, by insurance companies, co-ops, genuine charities. The world is a self-organizing place. The word voluntarism means that everything must be voluntary. It's a little bit of the rebranding of anarchy, but it gets there in the kind of moral, the moral idea that everything must be voluntary. Nobody gets rights that other people don't. Nobody gets the ring of power because there isn't a ring of power. And if everything has to be voluntary and nobody has rights that other people don't, then you don't have a government. You can't have a government because a government, by definition, has rights that you don't. And so I'm not saying that you can't have governance, you just can't have government. The world is this self-organizing system. It produces spontaneous order, and it is capable of organizing and coordinating the actions of millions of people without any central top-down coordination. One example is the grocery store, which coordinates the activities of millions of people in a supply chain that stretches across six continents to provide you avocados in four seasons and strawberries in four seasons. And it's done without any bureau of grocery stores. It is done completely in a voluntary system where everyone is compensated for their contribution. And if you think about it, from smartphones to computer systems to automobiles to bookstores, all of those are coordinating massive, complicated supply chains without any, you know, central organization whatsoever. My organization is called the Art of Liberty Foundation. We're a startup public policy organization. We're voluntarist in nature. The thing that makes us different, I mentioned, is that we're coming at the problem. We're not pretending that government is legitimate. We're saying that it's illegitimate on its face, and we're not saying that we have a political problem. We're saying that it's an organized crime problem, and we're fingering the banks, the media companies. This is a little bit of what makes us unique.